open my eyes to the world, the world that shines in you. Open my eyes to the world that shines in you. Let me see you brightening the air. Let me see you playing everywhere.
This is Elizabeth Joyce with Let's Find Out. And that was my William Vitale singing Open My Heart to the World. And we all need to open our hearts to the world these days. Tonight, I have a wonderful guest, Reverend Monita Tukia, and she's going to be talking about the morality in our society today. And let me tell you, we all need to really take a look at it. But how does morality impact our lives now, both spiritually and worldwide? And what are the attitudes of those around us? Do you think that we're developing some negative attitudes towards others these days, or do you think it's turning towards perhaps a better view? Let's talk to Monita and find out. Good evening, Monita.
Hi, good evening. How are you doing?
Very well. So what do you think about our society today?
Where do I start? I mean, today's show is supposed to be morality in our society today, but whilst you were doing the introduction, I was thinking perhaps it should also be the lack of morality in our society today. I mean, things have gone really fast downhill. When I think about what's going on and the fact that I've been in every continent, I've dealt with almost every culture, and it's not just the American culture. Mm-hmm. It's everywhere. I think people have just lost it all together, or perhaps they don't care. But I also think it has to do with the advent of social media. People just say what they want and do what they want, and all of a sudden everything is out there.
Well, you know what I like to say? I like to say there's no grace and there's no reverence. We really have gotten away from grace, reverence, and respect in this new generation. What drives us to behave the way we do?
Well, it depends on your worldview, the way you were brought up. And for a lot of people, I mean, looking at Asia and the Middle East, for a lot of people there, it's driven by religion. I mean, you've got all these moral triggers, right? So you're constantly obligated to behave in a particular way or to avoid certain behaviors.
Correct.
Right. And I mean, a short while ago, I mean, even 10, 20 years ago, if you did certain things and you infringed upon other people's rights, there were consequences to your actions.
Consequences. I know that if you chew gum in Singapore, you can get arrested.
I know, and you beat him. It's so funny because I do go to Singapore quite a bit, and if you throw trash on the street and things like that, and that's a society where you've got ironclad rules and regulations. I think that's a bit much, but then you look at the other side.
You look at the United States, and there isn't anything. Oh. I remember when I went over to Zurich, Germany. Uh-huh. And I was walking through the airport, and a teenager was walking down the aisle with a boombox. And I didn't think anything of it because you see it everywhere in New York.
Yes.
And two riflemen came up and held guns on him, and he had to put it down.
Yes, I know. It is so hilarious because even when you get into a flight, let's just talk about that. You get into a flight, and it's a funny anecdote about 15 years ago. I got into a flight to go to Peru to do some missionary work, and it was an American Airlines flight, and I had a connection in Miami, and they came to me and said, would you like some coca tea? And I said, oh, whatever, fine. So I took it, and I went down there, and everything was great. And I came back on the return flight, and I asked, have you got any coca tea? And they said, no, that's illegal in the United States. So when you look at something like that, it's very odd. It is such a simple thing, but behaviors and morals, I think, has got to do with the culture and the way people perceive certain things as normal.
Well, you know, and it's very hard if you've been abused or if you've been in a very tough, rough culture to understand when somebody else is polite. You always think that they have a motive. Do you remember when the men used to take their hats off and they used to bow at their elders? That was just a matter of course, but it's not that way now.
Oh, no, no, no. That's the niceties are gone. I mean, me being from England and sort of everybody's polite and you say good afternoon or whatever. And here in America, when you say good morning to people, even when I go to work, they look at me funny.
Why do you think our morals are swiftly crumbling at this time?
I think it's because people have lost contact with what is supposed to be right, because all of a sudden everybody's bombarded with all the social media and do what you want. And if you look at the last 5, maybe 10 years in America, you haven't got rigid or proper television viewing. I don't even watch TV, really.
Oh, yeah, you're right. You know, the most difficult thing to do is to know what we need and what we think is luxury. What we think we need in some instances really is luxury. And to know the difference between that and what you can do without is just not even discussed in this country, because we can go anywhere we want, do anything we want, and use as much toilet paper as we want, if you know what I mean.
Exactly. And I think reality shows have gone mental. People want to push the bar, and there are no constraints on what they could say or do.
I have a little saying that if I'm right and you're wrong, and you have to tell me that you're wrong, and you know that you're wrong, and when you tell me that you're wrong and you know that you're wrong, then I'll know you love me.
Brilliant. But how many people do that?
They do it all the time. They push their buttons, as you said.
Yeah.
And there's no conscience. There's no conscience into who you're going to hurt if you break out with a news story that you know about that probably should never be repeated. And it doesn't matter who you hurt. It matters that you get the story out. And they say, we have a right to know. Well, we don't have a right to know. We don't have a right to know somebody's private, sacred thoughts and actions.
That's the thing. I think the whole society, and it starts here in the U.S. and in a large way in Europe as well. It's sort of like, you know, they've got this silly Google thing, right? Google Earth. And I was a couple of weeks ago, it was on CNN. This woman was in her, I don't know, skivvies in her backyard. Mm-hmm. And they took these photographs and they broadcasted it all over the news. I don't think that's right. She is in her backyard. And I think it's funny. I don't think that's funny at all. You're infringing on another person's peace and
privacy. Yeah. So do you think that, do you think we're at our wickedest, or do you think it's going to get worse?
Really, I think we're living in the end times. I think we're at the wickedest. And in terms of biblical perspective, the way you put that in perspective, you know, when Christ was on the earth, he said, in the last days, it's going to be more wicked than the days of Noah or the days of Lot.
And I remember he also said, mother against daughter and father against son. Do you remember that? And that the families would break up.
Because he said, you think I come to bring peace. I come not to bring peace. You know, the son will rise up against the father and the daughter will rise up against the mother. And we see that. We see nonsense.
We do. All the time. All the time. So what does the Bible say about the state of morality in our society?
Well, it's sort of funny because, you know, I'm a scientist as well. And a lot of people ask me, how do those two reconcile, being a minister and being a scientist? And it's so funny because I look for evidence. And when you look at prophecy in the Bible and you look at what's going on now, it's sort of like you're reading off a checklist. Everything is happening as is. And I talk a lot about this in my book, The Return of the King, because it's called The Return of the King because it heralds in the end of days and what's going to happen and what is going on right now. And
I had a very wise grandmother, and she was a wonderful spiritual lady. She was a New England Baptist, Monita. Uh-huh. And she taught me that I would be living in the first half of the end days, and my children would be living in the end. In the end of the last days. And she always said that we were forgetting our connection to God, our spiritual connection, our God connection. What can we expect in the future? Do you think this is all going to start turning around, or is it going to get worse?
No, it has to get worse. This is not going to get better. I mean, it's not going to get better at all. It's just getting worse. I mean, if you look at things, one of the things I find very, well, it's amusing, but it's annoying for me at the same time. And I was talking to a gentleman yesterday at work about it, and he's American. We were talking about it. And I said, I don't understand American culture, because you've got someone like the Kardashians, right? And what has this girl done? She made a porn tape. She put it out there. And it's a commercial sex worker, and suddenly she's famous, and she's got all this money. And she married some poor chap. Divorces him after 72 days, and she carries on. And Americans love this.
And she's got somebody new now that she's got on her show.
I know. And that
she didn't even give it 6 months, Monita.
Well, not even 3 months, Joyce. 72 days. People date longer than 72 days.
And there's not even any remorse. Yes. Any, oh, I miss him. It was a terrible thing to do. I shouldn't have done that. There's not any of that, which is very strange.
Well, that's the thing. I mean, what does this vacuous girl teach the young people of society? You can do what you want. You can use people. You can do whatever you want. Marriage is just a means to make money or whatever it is, right? And then carry
on. Some people think. But they're not brought up with the reverence and respect, of course, that we were brought up with. And I'm sure that many kids in the ghettos are not, but I think that we're losing it in a wider scale. I also think that Europe hasn't had the permission to be as free and open as America has, and that they're running with it. It might be a new thing for them to be as open and as nonchalant. I call it frivolous. As they're being right now, because it's a new behavior for them, let's say in the last 20 years, I don't think they used to be as bad as they are now or as difficult. And when you ask somebody to do something, they'll go, I don't want to, I won't. You hear 7-year-olds saying that to their parents, make me. And it just blows me away.
Exactly. I mean, now I know I've lived in Europe for a bit. If you want a divorce in Switzerland, it's going to take you 5 years. If you want a divorce in Germany, you have got to live with your spouse for 3 years to try to work it out. They're not just going to give you a divorce. Italy is the same problem. Well, so you're forced to work it out.
Now, back in the 30s, mm-hmm. my grandmother wanted a divorce from my grandfather. Actually, it was the 20s, I suppose. And do you know, she went to court 3 times, and all 3 times the judge refused it. Even though they lived apart, he wouldn't give it to them.
And what
happened?
Because
the point, they never got divorced as far as I know.
Wow. Did it work out well?
No, they just lived apart. They didn't live together. They never reunited, as they say. But where is it all heading? Why are we crashing and burning? What is going to pull us out of this? I know that we have to have destruction before reconstruction, because things have to break down and people have to get hit over the head before they're going to say, oh my God, there must be something greater than this.
Well, that's the thing. I mean, if you look at biblical history, in both times, the earth was sort of seared. I mean, the first time during the days of Noah, it got so bad. God had to literally flood the earth and take 8 people out of it and then repopulate it. But then again, it got wicked again. And then the next point you get to is Sodom and Gomorrah, when it got so bad, they had to take those cities out. And then he said, you know, in the last days, it's going to be just fire and that's it. Because it is so wicked and it's so awful. And it's scary. You go out there, you're not sure what people are going to do. For me personally, because the way I talk and my sensibilities, it's very frightening because I don't know how they're going to respond to me. I don't know what they're thinking. They think I talk funny. My sensibilities are different. But it's not. It's really proper. And people have lost that. And that is really sad because they've also lost their innocence as well.
Well, you know, I'm glad you said that because we're going to have a little treat tonight. I don't know if you remember George Beverly Shea. He was one of my favorite singers when the Billy Graham Crusades were going across the country. And I want to hear him remind all of us of how great thou art.
When I in awesome wonder consider all the worlds thy hands have made, I see the stars, I hear the rolling thunder, thy power throughout the universe displayed. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee, how great thou art. How great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art. How great thou art.
Exactly. People are rushing around. They're so busy clawing and scratching for things that they think they want, but they don't really need. They have those things, and all of a sudden it's accumulation of more stuff. Do you remember that poem about the man and the sun?
No, I don't.
He was trying to catch this great ball of fire, and all of his life he tried to catch it. And in the end, when he did, it turned into a ball of ashes, and he felt so empty. So, I mean, why am I telling you this? Because I deal with a lot of people at work, and there's this one girl, and it's so frightening. She's about my age, really. And all her life, she's been trying to accumulate money, money, money. She hasn't talked about anything else. And now she told me the other day, I just feel empty. Well, yes, sweetheart, you feel empty. Life is not about accumulating things. It's about having meaningful relationships and doing meaningful things.
And people are too busy trying to do meaningful things, and then they have to get praised for it.
Oh, yes, yes. I've got put me on a pedestal, and that's where this nonsense with the social media nonsense comes in. Everybody wants to go on Twitter and blab about something that doesn't make any sense.
Well, what they want to do is they want to be recognized. Everybody wants to be something. They want to be recognized, and they feel they're a failure if they're not. They don't look at the fact that our mothers used to think that having children and bringing them up and having them have halfway decent lives was something to be recognized for. They want something more. I'm not quite sure what they're looking for, but it's very strange.
I don't think they're sure about it either.
So, again, what can we expect in the future after we go through this 7 years, 3.5 years in and 3.5 years out?
Well, the 3.5 years in, I think we're already in the last days. Because I can tell you, things are getting so horrid in the Middle East, and I go to Jerusalem quite a bit. And there's going to be a pact after 3.5 years. It's going to be broken, and the last 3.5 years will be the tribulation. And I mean,
well,
really,
we're just about there. I think we're going to be in a tribulation starting in 2013.
I don't doubt that at all because, I mean, how much more worse can things get? Have you had
pretty bad, about because we still have our money, Monica. We still have our money, and they're trying to eradicate our money. We still have our food, and they're trying to change and eradicate our food. And then they're going to eventually probably want everybody to have some kind of a chip up for identification. And supposedly that's whether we get food or not depends on our credit score. And all of that is manipulated as well. So it's going to be very interesting to see how this grows. You know, I wrote a book called Ascension, Accessing the Fifth Dimension. Mm-hmm. And chapter 5 and chapter 6 explain what is coming. If people want to pick that book up, you can get it at Amazon.com. But everybody says that they're that they're preparing for it. And I don't know how they're preparing for it, because I believe that a spiritual life doesn't depend on your personal desires, on your religion or your unfoldment, but rather your, the way that the soul works. Don't you think so?
Well, the thing about spirituality, that has taken a back seat to a lot of people. People, it's all about me, me, me. I want this, I want that. I don't care about anybody else. You know,
it's getting better, though. That's the me generation. The me generation seems to be moving into the we generation. I think it's going to take some time. But I do know some wonderful light workers that are working on the oneness blessing, that are working on we, the society, the community. What happens if we lose our electricity, for example, because of the solar flares? What happens if the climate becomes unbearable? What are we going to do to help us and the community? I do see people doing that in my area, at least.
Well,
okay, and again, that's people that are seeking spirituality. They're aware. I don't think too much percentage of the world is doing that, but I do know there are people around me that I can say are doing it.
Yes, and you know, just when I think the news can't get worse, it does, because I think about 3 to 4 weeks ago, this gentleman out in Montreal chopped up that poor man.
I didn't hear about that. See, I don't listen.
No, it was all over the news, and he cut up this poor man and mailed his body parts and ate part of him, and it was so odd, because it was so shocking to me that someone could do that and call himself a person.
Well, you know, they have a show called Criminal Minds, and that does show a lot of what goes on, and those stories are true. So it is amazing to look at the character of the people that do these things. And you know what I see? I do see a pattern, but I also see a lot of kids have mean parents, and a lot of kids starve and don't have much, but they don't go off and act like this criminals. Do you think it has something to do with our genes?
Well, it's sort of nature and nurture, right? I mean, you can take a child, but I've seen this too. I've seen parents talk to children the way they ought not to. And they're very patient with them. They let the television rear them. And what is on TV, a lot of it is rubbish. And the children, and it's sort of like, well, here is whatever this is. Just go and play with your iPod or whatever it is. And after a while, the child, of course, rears itself, and then they want this perfectly reared child. And that doesn't exist, because you did not take the time to nurture that child.
And that's whatever, true.
Right?
The kids even have to get their own meals, go heat it up in the microwave. I'm not home yet. The parents are so busy with their outer lives that they're not taking responsibility for their inner lives or for their children. That's very, very true. And they're latchkey children, but of course that's well hidden, because it's against the law to do that, right?
Well, that's the thing too, because I haven't got any kids or anything, but my niece, I spent last week with her, and I spent a lot of time with her just doing silly things like crafts and playing with her, and she cherishes all that stuff. But even sitting down for a meal, if you're going to pick up a meal on your way home, just sitting down at a dinner table talking to your children makes all the difference in the world.
We used to have Sunday dinners, and it was a requirement. And at Sunday dinners, we sat down and talked about what was going on during the week. And, of course, we would try to have family dinners in the evening as well. But, you know, the Mormon church is one church that does promote family, and they have Monday night. Every Monday night is their home and family night. Do you think it might be a good idea to incorporate that in some of the other families?
Well, I could tell you about, for us, we do that all the time. We have a night for the family, and we have got all these programs, but even people who say, okay, I'm not going to go to church, I think it makes sense for you to spend time with your family. Otherwise, why else are you having a family? You're doing them a disservice.
Well, that's right, because they say that love grows, but love can't grow if it's not watered, weeded, and fed. And if our kids are coming into some kind of trouble, we're not going to know it unless we do communicate with them. And how can we teach children to talk and speak properly to other children if they don't see a good example?
Exactly. I mean, my niece is 8, 9, And I've been teaching her to read since she was two and a half. Now she's a great reader. And that's the thing. If you don't take time to teach them what's proper and what's right and what is expected, how are they going to be articulate and mannerly and know what is right? I mean, it's that's a hard true. World out there. Everybody's got to work. I understand. But if you could teach your children what's proper, 10 or 20 minutes or half an hour a day with your kids can make a lot of difference compared to not having anything.
Just saying goodnight to them and tucking them into bed is not old-fashioned. It's very important. And reading to them when they're very little is also very encouraging. It makes them feel safe for some reason. I think it's very good psychologically.
Of course, it makes them feel safe. It makes them feel loved and wanted. If they don't feel loved and wanted, they're going to go seek it elsewhere.
And hopefully we're going to get them off of these iPods and texting. You know, I want to hear how you started the Lion of Judah Ministries, and we will be doing that as soon as we come back from our commercial break.
Enjoy a spiritual retreat this summer with Elizabeth Joyce and friends. Heaven on Earth, an evolutionary intensive. The dates are August 24th through 26th, 2012. This retreat will be held at the Kirkridge Retreat Center in Bangor, Pennsylvania, the heart of the Poconos Mountains. The other teachers are Judith Greentree and the shaman Summerhawk Wolf. You will live in peace and learn how to tap your creative flow. Learn how to express yourself inwardly to the world. When you wake every morning to bird songs in a beautifully run estate and spend your days empowering your body, mind, and spirit in a community of loving people, artists, writers, yoga, teachers, shamans, and spiritual seekers, you can make headway on even the most daunting energy blocks. This is a chance to come together with individuals from across the country in a shared passion for authentic spiritual transformation. Walking the labyrinth and meditating in the pond or the rock garden as we find out who we are, free from the distractions of our worldly commitments. This awakens participants to a new perspective in the human experience. Walk the space of abiding love, emotional support, caring, freedom, and true sharing. Elizabeth will guide you to a higher frequency. As your body vibration changes, you heal from within, and that's when the magic happens. Learn how to express yourself without fear. Discover who you are at the deepest levels of your being. Experience the freedom of ascension consciousness. Meet your guides and angels and merge with them for higher knowledge. Find out the meaning of walking the enlightened life of the world. Or you can spend your time in silence and walk the grounds of Kirkridge, snuggled so peacefully in the Pennsylvania Pocono Mountains. All classes and activities are optional. For a schedule, visit www.thebcma.net. To register, contact Elizabeth Joyce at elizabeth_joyce@verizon.net or at 215-996-0646. Come and evolve with us over the wonderful summer of 2012. Wisdom Magazine is one of the East Coast's largest free publications, with more than 1,000 distributed bimonthly in three regional areas, New England, New York City and New Jersey, and Pennsylvania. Wisdom is dedicated to opening the people's hearts and minds to the philosophy, products, and services of the new millennium, bringing love, peace, and positive information into the community. Elizabeth writes the astrology column for Wisdom, as well as a weekly astrology update for the Wisdom Magazine website. Visit us at wisdom-magazine.com to view our web edition. Is it a headache or someone wishing you ill? Is a sudden change in behavior due to drugs or the influence of evil? Do you find it hard to pray, to reach out to God? Psychic attack is more common than one might think and is a malady that can be overcome by specific metaphysical and spiritual treatment. Elizabeth Joyce clearly explains what the symptoms of psychic attack are, where it comes from, how you can overcome the attack, and what simple exercises and meditations you can do to protect yourself from future attacks. She compares psychic attacks from days gone by with their modern counterparts and illustrates with anecdotes and examples. Is there any such thing as a ghost, and can they harm you? Can other people's negative and destructive thoughts harm you? If so, you can take steps to protect yourself from these energies. Although you would seek and find help with any physical emergency, this book, Psychic Attack, Are You a Victim? By Elizabeth Joyce, can be helpful by your learning good spiritual practices for clearing away negative energies and keeping up with the housework of the soul. Then, if something overthrows you, there are some good strategies at hand so you can begin to remove them. Learn what to do as well as what not to do. Elizabeth Joyce is an expert on ghost busting, and she has been to court on many occasions helping people get their money back from the gypsies and so-called psychic stealers. This is a book that you'll want to pick up and keep in your library because it's a how-to book as well as an informative book. Psychic Attack, Are You a Victim? By Elizabeth Joyce is available at Amazon.com as well as the website www.new-visions.com. Be sure to pick up Psychic Attack. You will want to hear Elizabeth's personal story as well as get this great information that could be helpful to you and your family in the future. Psychic Attack, Are You a Victim? By Elizabeth Joyce. Opening your spiritual chakras is the next stage of your physical body's shifting reality. Your body is now merging with your etheric or universal body and the new spiritual chakra centers. You will begin to experience a realm of many vibrant prismatic colors and dancing energy patterns will emerge. By opening your spiritual chakras and merging with your universal body, you will come together in marvelous ways, and new spiritual powers will begin to emerge into your body system. The chakras are your major energy centers, and they allow you to transform your physical body and integrate with its spiritual body to function properly in the new fifth dimension energies. To accomplish these complex intertwining procedures, the spiritual hierarchy intends to bring forth four additional chakras as soon as possible: the 8th, the 8.5, the 9th, and the 10th. These four new chakra centers will permit you to manage the immensity of multidimensional information inherent to your new physical body. The physical body will be walking in sync with the universal body. In addition, the four spiritual chakras will transform the other 7, thereby allowing them to take on many new responsibilities. Elizabeth Joyce has created a new CD to help you open your spiritual chakras. This is very valuable and is one of the primary ways needed for you to begin the ascension process and work well in the fifth dimension energies that are now coming onto the planet. In addition to the 4 spiritual chakras and the 7 regular physical chakras, there is an extra chakra, the foot chakra, or the 0 chakra. This is your earth grounding center, and it is located at the balls of your feet. Above the crown chakra are 4 more numbers, 8, 10, 11, and 12. The main purpose of these extended chakras, which has always been a part of the energetic field, including our aura, is to enable the individual to tune into his or her inner God self, the divine will, and even the galactic community that surrounds and supports the earth in its evolution. This is a CD that you will want to have and work with on a daily basis between now and December 21st, 2012. It is available here at bbsradio.com under the Let's Find Out page, as well as Elizabeth Joyce's personal website, www.new-visions.com. Be sure to get the CD, Opening Your Spiritual Chakras, with music by Richard Shulman, so that you can advance yourself and find security in these new, wonderful fifth dimension energies. Again, that's www.new-visions.com or bbsradio.com under Let's Find Out. You're listening to Let's Find Out on bbsradio.com, Station 1. If internet radio has a name, it's BBS Radio, the number one live internet radio talk show on the planet. Let's Find Out and our honored guests come to us every other Monday night at 9 p.m. Eastern and 6 p.m. Pacific. If you would like to call in and ask a question, please dial 888 888- 888-627-6008 in the U.S. and Canada. Again, that's 888-627-6008. Now, if you're just tuning in and would like to hear this show in its entirety, a podcast will be available tomorrow, and you can download it at the archive link at bbsradio.com. Remember, if it's not mainstream, it's BBS Radio. So now, let's find out with our host, Elizabeth Joyce. Now it's time for Let's Find Out's Metaphysical Book Corner. Tonight, we are discussing the two books written by Monita Dukia. The first one is called The Return of the King.
Has the doomsday clock been triggered? Why is there such a dramatic increase in natural disasters? Why is the global economy decaying so swiftly? Why is the world in such turmoil since 2011 began? What is the significance behind these frightful events happening all around us? What will happen next? Monita Dukia's book, The Return of the King, has the answers. It's available at www.returnoftheking.net or on Amazon's Marketplace in paperback and Kindle formats. Are we the final generation witnessing the countdown to Armageddon? Are you prepared to survive these dangerous times? The Return of the King is a biblical roadmap for these perilous end times in which we live, and it's available at www.returnoftheking.net.
Monita's second book is entitled Out of the Miry Clay. Your past does not dictate your future. The how-tos of conquering abuse and the fears that bind you are the discussions included in Out of the Miry Clay. Do you feel ignored, misunderstood, victimized, and frustrated, unable to cope with your problems? Are you losing your hope, and are you fearful of the future? Well then, you are not alone. There are millions across the globe who are feeling exactly the way you do. It's time for you to stop hiding behind your pain and to let go of your past and the fears that are binding you. It is time to face your circumstances, reclaim your life, and live in complete victory. I have been through unimaginable abuse and was able to free myself from my predators, break the abuse cycle, and live in the victory instead of defeat. If I can do it, so can you, right now, claims Monita. Out of the Miry Clay will enable you to seek true healing, rather than to numb yourself to your pain or insulate yourself in a blanket of lies. It is time to reclaim your life and to live in victory instead of defeat. So, get ready to banish your fears and face the future with confidence. Will you choose to live in defeat or victory? Read Out of the Miry Clay by Monita Dukia and learn how to face your issues head on. Release your fears and live in victory instead of defeat. This book can be found on Amazon.com in both paperback and Kindle formats. Pick up Out of the Miry Clay by Monita Dukia today. It will really help you to grow.
I come to the garden alone, while the dew is still on the roses, and the voice I hear falling on my ear, the Son of God discloses, and he walks with me, and he talks with me, and he tells me I am his own, and the joy we share as we tarry there, none other has ever
This is Elizabeth Joyce with Let's Find Out, and we just had the pleasure of listening to another beautiful song by George Beverly Shea called In the Garden. I come to the garden alone, Monita. When we come to the garden alone and we sit with ourselves and we go within, that's when we can really begin to look at where we might be off the path or where we might need to make an inner adjustment. But so many people in the world are afraid to be alone. They can't be alone for a minute or a second. They're either texting, they're dialing, they're watching television, or they're doing something noisy. Don't you find that's true?
It is true, because a lot of people are frightened to face problems and to face what they have done or what they're afraid of. So the thought of being alone frightens them immensely, and instead of dealing with things, they tend to let it go and it all builds up, right?
I've heard people say, I can't be alone. I can't be alone at night. I have to have somebody with me. Even children do this. And I'm wondering if it's their diet, or if it's their inner training, or if there's some kind of a force that's making them be uncomfortable with themselves. And how can we improve on that, Monita?
Well, I think, you see, for a lot of people, and I noticed this in the United States a lot, their personalities, they have never developed their personalities. It hasn't been allowed to form. And in Asia, for example, you're always constantly surrounded by people and they tell you what to do and all this. So it's no problem because there's always people around. But here, it's sort of like their personalities are not formed. You don't know what you want. Your parents never really took time with you. All of a sudden, everything is bombarded. So when you're left to your own devices, you don't know what to do. You always want someone there. You want someone to tell you what to do. You want someone to fill the void instead of you yourself trying to think about, well, what do I want? Who am I really? What do I want in life? Where am I going? Do I want to be a better person? No, no one wants to. A lot of people don't want to answer those questions or even ask those questions.
Well, they already think they're a better person and they have no clue of how they've hurt people if they've stuck up for themselves, Monita, and if they've spread slander, or if they've really prevented somebody from doing what they want to do and gotten in the way because of jealousy, they don't look at it as something wrong. They look at it as, well, I had to do that, and they start defending it instead of knowing that they've broken somebody's heart. How did you start your ministries, and why are you reaching out to the world?
Well, the thing is, I became an ordained minister 14 years ago.
Oh,
before I was married to my first husband. And when I married him, he knew I was a minister, blah, blah, blah. It went to, and he said he was a Christian. And out of the start, the marriage was disastrous. And after the marriage fell apart and all that, I knew within 3 weeks of marrying him, it was a wrong thing to do. I wanted an annulment. I didn't get one because of pressures. You know, you just married this man. You should stick it out, blah, blah, blah. Turned out he was an embezzler and everything.
Then you couldn't put up with the moral code, no.
Exactly. So what happened is after the marriage fell apart, he literally cleaned out the accounts, cleaned out the apartment, sued me. It just went nuts. So I wrote Out of the Miry Clay, not because I want to write it, because I'm a very proper person, but I had to write it. It was very cathartic for me, and it does help people all across the globe. And then after I wrote that book, I started this ministry, the line of Judah Ministries, really to empower people.
Good, because you learned that for yourself, so you wanted to share it. What are some of the points of self-empowerment, Monita?
Well, you don't have to be a victim. You don't have to be anybody's victim.
How do you learn not to do that?
Well, it's not what is done to you. It's how you're going to react to it and how you're going to get over it and how you're going to take the high road. If you're always going to do tit for tat, you're no better than the person who did something to you.
Revenge is sweet.
Well, I suppose revenge is sweet, but for me, it's sort of like, you know what? I forgive you, not for you, but for me, because I don't want that toxic mess to be inside my heart and to make me bitter.
The thing that I try to remember is that that the law of karma is exact, and that it's up to God and the spiritual forces to enact the revenge, because when they do it, it's always much more beautiful.
Exactly.
There's always payback. There really is. And sometimes people have earned enough good karma in a past lifetime to be evil in this lifetime, and no person sees them get their comeuppance, as they say. But believe me, I believe it does come.
Well, that's the other thing. And in biblical terms, there is a verse in the Old Testament where God is talking, and he said, vengeance is mine. Mm-hmm. I will repay. You let it go.
It's hard to do that, though.
It's the hardest thing to do, and I could tell you that. And I know a lot of people who have been hurt when you're blindsided by things. And, for instance, what happened to me was no one should go through that at all. And that happened 7 years ago, 7.5 years ago. And I started the Line of Judah Ministries a year after that, and I wrote the book, and I've been doing a lot of global ministering and conferencing and all that stuff. And it does help people, because I watch people just take that big shroud of what they're carrying around, right? Because they're hungry, they're hurt. It's a burden. They want revenge. They want some sort of payback, and then they let it go, and then they become a better person.
Well, you know, when you let someone else do it, you know, the higher energies do it, then you can find an acceptance. I believe that that you find an acceptance. Now, what I'm seeing happening to you now, tell me if I'm right, is you had a bad marriage and you got out of it very difficultly. But after you started the ministries and after you went back to yourself, as they say, you met someone new. Is that not true?
No, I haven't remarried.
Oh, I feel someone around you, so pretend I didn't say that. But I feel
that there's
a greater love inside of you after all of this, that there's a greater love and that you're opening up to perhaps sharing again.
Exactly. That you're spot on that. I mean,
okay.
There are quite a lot of people who are quite interested. And the thing is, for me, I'm a very strong person. You see, I grew up in a home. I had 7 brothers and 2 sisters. And I'm 9 of 10, and it was a strong Christian home. And I grew up very tough. So it's sort of like I'm very strong. I have got my own personality. I've got my own business, my own ministry. And for me, if I'm alone or not, I've still got that strong connection with God. And I do what is best.
But that's very important, because I believe that you really have to be your own person before you can properly mate. And I come from a family of 2 sets of identical twins.
Wow.
That's amazing.
It is.
And of course, you lean on your twin and you don't become your own person. And I wanted to write a book called De-Twinning, because before you finish life as an identical twin, you have to de-twin and you have to find yourself. And the energies do work at that does happen. Both of my sisters did that, but they didn't do it until they were in their 60s. And I started to de-twin in my 20s. So I think that's interesting, because we all want to be a part of someone else and a part of their life, but we have to do it when we're in our strength, like you are, so that if you were to team up again, it would be a totally different relationship, and you would have different needs met than you did in your first marriage, correct?
Yes, and that's part of why the marriage fell apart as well, because I've always been very strong, a strong character. And this person was not. He was always threatened by everything I did and everything I've accomplished and all that. So now I've waited so long, because it's sort of like I've had several proposals. I've rejected them all because I didn't want to fall into something that's going to be wrong again. I prefer to be by myself and happy in who I am than to team up with someone who perhaps is not going to be who I want them to be and who they need to be.
But, you know, part of that could be that you're still healing, that you weren't finished with the healing and have to develop the trust. But, you know, when you connect, you connect. Rumi was a great poet, and he wrote 2,000 years ago. And what he said was, the minute I saw my first love story, I started thinking of you, not knowing how blind that was. True lovers don't meet somewhere. They're in each other all along.
And that's the other thing. I mean, recently I've been talking to this friend of mine, and we've been talking, and she said, I think, did you believe in soulmates? And I said, yeah. I'm starting to think maybe there is this person that you're supposed to be with.
And then, well, I think so too, but I think that it's a little overrated. I always believe that who we feel drawn to is the person we're supposed to be with at the time, because that's where the lessons are.
You have to go through all these lessons. Nobody is going to go through life unscarred. And with each lesson, you're supposed to take from it the good and bad and learn from it. But a lot of people become bitter. And when you become bitter, that's when it gets all scary.
Well, that's when disease comes in. Disease and uncomfortableness and sleepless nights and self-hate. How can we lift this up to a higher level? How can we tell people that they have a mission in life and that they have visions and that you can create your vision statement and begin to create your life into one that is loving, productive, and also fulfilling?
Well, I think people need to be brutally honest. You need to look at yourself and see, what are your shortcomings? And a lot of people don't want to accept that they've got shortcomings. For me, I can tell you right now, I haven't got loads and loads of patience because I'm very, very energetic and I like things to be done yesterday. Mm-hmm. So I've got to slow down. That is, I think, one of my shortcomings. And the other thing is I tend to be very brutally honest. So over the years, I've been tempering that in how I say it, not what I say, but how I say it.
Right. And that's what we have to do. You probably are a little Sagittarian somewhere. I, too, have been a little bit more honest than I need to be. But, you know, I'm a minister as well, and I give people consultation and readings. And sometimes you tell them what they don't want to hear, and you have to let them get to a point where they see how it can be changed down the road. Or how sometimes they have to just make a statement of faith and stick to their values rather than letting somebody else manipulate them. But I also believe in prayer and I believe in meditation and I believe that through that you get your own vision statements and that you're able to be directed from within. Do you find that?
Well, the thing is, and we talked about this, I think, early in the broadcast. It's this whole beautiful notion of being alone. People don't mm-hmm. want to be alone. The path of self-discovery is the one no one wants to take because you know what? You're going to face some ugly truths along that path. And a lot of people prefer not to do that.
They can't do pain.
Exactly. But they don't realize that the longer they keep themselves from doing that, the more injured they're going to become and hurting people, hurt other people.
And that's because they're holding all the anger inside. So they do something called displaced anger. They'll yell at the guy at the post office instead of their husband or something like that, right? Or
yes.
They'll get short-tempered with the kids when they're really upset about their boss at work.
Or they'll take a silly credit card and go charge $10,000 at Neiman Marcus when they can ill afford it because they want to feel better.
And that's very short-lived as well.
It is.
We're taught in this country to shop. Shop, shop, shop till you drop.
I know you are taught to shop. And it's
because if we didn't do that, Monita, we'd have to sit and be alone.
You buy things. It was hilarious. I was buying things the other day for my niece, ribbons and things of that nature. And it was so funny. The department store, the song came on. And the girl was singing, "We shop to hide ache in our hearts." And I burst out laughing because I'm thinking, that's precisely what a lot of people in here are doing. Why would they play that song? Well, it was just on the radio and I thought it was so funny. But I mean, back to what we're talking about, morality and all that. If people don't have a burden of conscience or any sort of moral standards to which they're held to, they're going to do whatever they want. And I think with the advent of Twitter and Facebook, you can post whatever nonsense you want anywhere.
And it doesn't have to be true.
Exactly.
You can tell somebody that you're 12 years old and you're really 65, you know.
I mean, you could go on YouTube and you could put all kinds of madness on there you're not thinking because it's funny. It's for the moment. But people get hurt and then people retaliate.
And once you're on the internet, you're on the internet. Nothing comes down that you put on the internet.
I know. And before you know it, someone's reputation is gone or someone is so hurt. They don't know what to do and they retaliate.
Yeah, that's true.
Of course, you want as many hits as possible on YouTube, so you're going to put something as salacious as possible, right?
Yep. But I want to talk a little bit now about how we can start growing away from these impulsive reactions and start building character and a positive future. So especially with your website, you have so many beautiful things on here. What can you tell people that they could start doing to help themselves grow in a more healthy way?
Well, simple things. For instance, for me as a minister, I mean, I work too. I'm a consultant as well. I go in, you see a person in the morning. When you see a person in the morning, you say good morning. A simple thing like that. You smile at someone, even if they're really mean to you. You don't know what people are going through. You really don't.
That's true, but sometimes it's not okay to do that. You do have to also have permission to stay away and keep away if you know that they're going to be harmful back to you. And unfortunately, when somebody says good morning to you, a lot of people in New York feel uncomfortable. They want to know what they want. What do you want? Why are you saying good morning to me? What's your motive? That's very sad, but they do.
I know, and it's sort of funny because I do little things. I mean, I ask, could I help you? Would you like a cup of tea? Would you like to go for a cup of tea or something? And it's sort of getting back to human decency. I think that's lost too. The niceties.
Right.
You know, and I noticed girl at work, and I've got an extensive garden, and the girl I was telling you about, and I took her roses one day from my garden, and she was blown away. And it was such a little thing. I just cut a few, and I said, here you go. But little things like that.
Them to her?
I did. I put it on her desk in a glass of water, and she had them there for weeks. She even dried them.
Oh,
and
that's
I was stymied because it's such a little thing. And that's the thing. I mean, there is an old saying, and it may sound silly, treat people the way you want them to treat you.
Sure.
And I think if we can do that, we will see the morals come back in our society. We will see ourselves ascending to a better place.
That should be the top of our list, kindness, generosity, kindness, and caring. Honesty, trust, and caring are the three things that I like to see in people. And I have a way of being able to tell when they're a little off the mark. Of course, that has to do with their eyes. But I think it's important to know when they are off the mark and then to ask them, you know, is this really real for you? And then sometimes they'll switch back and tell you the truth more than they did before. And with children and teenagers especially, it's very hard for parents. But if they ask them to look them in the eye and don't let them pull away and go to their room, that might be helpful as well. We have to get back to some of the old family values. Maybe we don't have to go back to, you know, typewriters and radios, but we certainly do have to go back to the moral values, the values of caring, of putting an arm around somebody, of holding somebody until they feel safe, maybe of giving a kiss goodnight, and some of the niceties that we need to get back to.
Exactly. And it's sort of simple things like holding the elevator for somebody. That is not going to take a day out of you.
Oh, I know it. We had a real elevator problem in Washington, D.C. this weekend, and they had a very, very bad storm. And these elevators were getting stuck between floors and everything. And there is a rule. Always let people off before you start to come on. That's a subway rule and an elevator rule. And people forget it. They're so afraid that they're not going to get their space, they don't want to let the other people off.
Exactly. It's so silly, but I think a lot of people, they do it because they see someone else doing it. It's all like when you drop litter on the floor, everybody does it because someone else did it first. I think it's time to stop the nonsense and start turning the tide the other way and say, look, how are you today? Are you all right? Have a good day.
Done. Connect with them, to connect
exactly.
with them on a soul level.
Yes.
I'd like you to give us your website for further follow-up if people want to get in touch with you.
If people want to get in touch with me, they can go to my book site or my website. The main website is www.thelionofjudahministries.com. Or the two book sites are www.outoutofofthethemyryclay.net. And the second book site is www.thereturnoftheking.net. And drop me a line.
And the Return of the King is really a valid website to go and look at. You'll enjoy it, and it might refresh you with some of the memories of what you learned as a child. Monita, it's been wonderful having you on tonight. I'm sure that we have learned a lot, and I hope sometime you'll consider coming back to us. Do you have another book coming out?
Yes, there is a book I'm writing at the moment called Born for a Time Such as This, because whether we like it or not, this is the time we have been given. We might as well do the best we can. darling.
Well, that sounds very exciting. Yeah. What's the theme of it? Is there a focus?
The focus is, it doesn't matter where you are in history, you're never going to think that's your time. But however, all the greats had to buckle down. Just toughen up and deal with it.
Well, good. This has been a wonderful evening. This is Elizabeth Joyce on Let's Find Out. And now I'd like to talk to you about next week's guest. Next week we're having Annabella Wood, and she is a minister, and she has worked with Byron Katie, and she's also a wonderful singer. So we'll have some of her music to play and listen to, and she was a truck driver, and then after that she became a counselor, and she's also a jack of all trades, and she helps people in their homes get cleaned up and get it put back together again if there's anything broken. Her name is Annabella Wood. She's from Bucks County, Pennsylvania, and she is going to be one of our teachers at the summer retreat in August, and I hope many of you will choose to join us at our spiritual summer retreat, which is focusing on opening up the heart and growing into your love. Again, this is Elizabeth Joyce with Let's Find Out. We are about to have a wonderful musical meditation with William Vitalis. Let's listen as he sings about the world and all the people in the world. The name of the song by William Vitalis is called Water. So sit with both feet flat on the floor, close your eyes, and just let the music fill your body. Good night, and we'll see you in 2 weeks.
Water, it's known by many names, the Muslim call it Jah, the Hindu call it Pani. The Christian call it water, but to the cloud it's all the same. Sister Water, so humble and pure, I would cry too if I was a cloud. I would cry long and I would cry loud if I could wash away the world, if I could wash away the words, if I could wash away the wars over the world. If I could fill the rivers up, because we all drink from the same cup. It's known by many names, but to our hearts it's all the same. Oh, I can call it water, but I can also call it honey. I can call it love. but to our hearts it's all the same. Oh, it's known by many, many names, but to our hearts it's all the same. But to our hearts it's all the same. In all the world, nothing else can fill the rivers up. Nothing else can soothe the pain. Nothing else can soothe the pain. Nothing else can fill the rivers up. Because we all drink from the same cup. We all drink from the same cup.